To God be the glory. It's good to see those who are present this Lord's Day morning. We are thankful to God that all is as well with us as it is. And things could be a whole lot worse. But God is so good. He's blessed us to be able to rise this morning and to see the beauty of another day. We are also thankful that Jesus is alive and well today. Brother Spicer has given us some beautiful songs, and Brother Heights with the beautiful scripture reading of God's word, as well as the beautiful prayer going up to God on our behalf. We know that God is good, not just some of the time, but all the time. God is good. I encourage you this morning, if you're outside the ark of safety, put your Savior on in baptism for the remission of your sins. I encourage you to rededicate your life. I encourage you to come and ask for prayer and even place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. I discourage you from leaving here without being on the Lord's side. Brother Schaefer has given us a number of announcements this morning, and we know that God is moving in a mighty way, encouraging us in a mighty way to lay hold on eternal life right here at this beautiful congregation. My name is Michael Crowder, and I have been the former minister at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street in Nashville, Tennessee. And we had a beautiful opportunity there to declare the good news for a number of years. Brother Christopher Jackson and the family have taken part in that ministry, and they are continuing to carry on the work, as well as Brother Spivey, who is the assistant minister now at the congregation. My wife and I are engaged in a work at the Northside Church of Christ, where our son-in-law is one of the elders at that congregation. And I want to thank the elders, I want to thank the leadership at this congregation for this opportunity to kind of fill in until your minister comes probably the month of January. And I know you're looking forward to the minister coming, and I want to thank the congregation for encouraging me to stay in the word and to be able to deliver it right here at Fairview Church of Christ. I've done this in the past as far as the gospel meeting, and also an opportunity to preach the word in the past at this congregation. And it's well known. It's a congregation that stands on the truth of God's word. And it's a congregation that will continue as long as we remain faithful to the word to stand on what is right in the sight of God. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn them to Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. The 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and the verses are 6 through 11. I look forward to my wife being with me tonight. She has a Bible study with a candidate, a prospective candidate, who may become a member of the Lord's church as a result of the Bible study the minister has asked her to engage in. And this is one of those Sundays. Every other Sunday, she's engaged in that study with that young lady. So I'm very happy that we are encouraged with that study. Her fiance is already a member of the church, and he's looking forward to her becoming a member. I heard from my wife this morning just before I arrived at the building, and she was in a state of panic. I asked her, what's wrong? She said, do you still have my keys in the trunk of your car? I said, I looked back there, and I was just praying they wouldn't be there, and they were not there. She says, well, it's not, they're not in my purse. I said, well, how do you know? I passed the car and it didn't open, and they're not in my purse. So a little bit later on, she found them in her purse, and I guess the car was unlocked when she went by, and it just didn't do what it normally does as far as unlocking and letting her in. But thank God she found them, and she's probably in worship right on time. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. Isaiah was recognized as the Messianic prophet. The reason we call him the Messianic prophet is because Isaiah predicted the coming of Jesus Christ. He continues to write about the coming of Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah. And that's a beautiful thing when you think about Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, the Savior of the world. And not only did he come at that time, he's coming back. And he's going to come in the future. We don't know when, but we want to be ready for his coming. Isaiah was an 8th century prophet, and most of his contemporary fellows were in Jerusalem, somewhere around 742 to 700 B.C. Isaiah was a Hebrew prophet, and his name meant God is salvation. God wants everybody to be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I am glad that when we found ourselves in sin, God loved us enough to send his only begotten son, his only son that he could find in heaven, the only son that he had in heaven, the beloved son, the wonderful son, the lamb without blemish, he sent to die for the sins of mankind. Isaiah's writing were proclaimed to be a writing from God. And it was a writing from God to godless people. So we look at John chapter 1 to begin with in verses 1 through 2. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I know that in the beginning, there was God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that in the beginning, the Word, Jesus, was there with God. And the same was in the beginning, the Bible says, in verse 2 of John chapter 1. The same was in the beginning with God. God created man with the capacity to know God and the fellowship with God. This was God's intention to help man know God's Son, the Word, Jesus. And the Word was preserved through the writings from holy and inspired men of God. The Bible is not just a book that happened to come about. The Bible is not just something that man, ordinary man, wrote without the Spirit of God guiding him and helping him along the way. The Bible is the inspired book, the inspired Word. We had Jesus, the Word in the flesh. And then we had Jesus who lived the Word, who was the Word. And then we had the written Word that we can follow right now and be able to be saved. I'm glad that the Word has been written. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21 says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So I know that this book, this Bible, is Holy Spirit. Spirit guided. I know that no man on the face of the earth was able to write with his own knowledge without the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to rightly divide the word this morning. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the book, the Bible. I'm glad I don't have to rely on my own mind to understand the word of God. I'm glad that it's written. I'm glad that it's a book that is retained on the face of the earth to help man to make it from earth unto glory. And I'm glad that in the reading of God's word and the obeying of God's word, I have the right to a crown of life that fades not away. I'm glad that in the end, in the last day, I can hear the Lord say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What a joy to be when we all get to heaven. So let's kind of analyze Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. And going right on through to verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 6 of Isaiah 55, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." What the Bible is telling me is to find the Lord in the book we call the Bible. And while we are finding the Lord in the book we call the Bible, do it before we get too old to appreciate what we are doing. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Do it before we get to a point of where the word is not as meaningful to us as we are young enough, as we are agile enough to be able to rightly divide the word. And I'm not saying when a person gets so old, because we have one here celebrating a 93rd birthday. I'm not saying that when you get old, you stop appreciating the word of God. But as we get older, there are many things that cause our minds to not be as centered on the Lord as the mind can be when we're younger and when we're more agile and when we're more obedient and receptive of the word of God. I'm glad that Isaiah 55 verse number 6 says, "Find the Lord while we are still alive," while we're still able to find him. And he says, the Lord can be found. There's going to come a day when the Lord comes back. And when the Lord comes back from the heavenly heights, the Bible tells me he's coming back to take man into heaven with him. And when man goes into heaven, men who are outside the ark of safety will be judged according to the deeds done in the body, whether good or whether evil. The Lord can be found right now in a position that allows us to be saved. That's why this morning I'm talking to you on the subject, God's Word. God's Word. God's Word is to be appreciated. God's Word is to be read. God's Word is to be received. And the scriptures that I'll give you this morning helps us to understand and better appreciate God's word. I'm glad that the Lord says, "I can be found right now. You are alive. You are able-bodied. You can understand my word, but you've got to seek me. You've got to try to find me." Revelation 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Boy, isn't that beautiful? Come and partake of the word of Jesus freely. There was a time, Acts 17 and verse number 30, when God winked at our ignorance, when God winked at our not knowing the true God, and that God winked at us not heeding and understanding and believing that the word was like gold and silver, and that the word was like that which is on earth, a stone. God winked at our ignorance then, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And how do we repent? By reading and obeying and seeking the Lord while he may be found. In Isaiah 55 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Let the wicked forsake his evil way, and the righteous," the Bible says, "his own thoughts, the unrighteous, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him." To our God, he's to return, for he will abundantly pardon. The King James Version says, if the wicked will just turn away from wickedness and unrighteousness, and if the wicked will come to the Lord, if the wicked will get his thoughts together, get his mind together, the Lord will save him. The Lord will have abundant mercy upon him. Abundant pardon. Boy, that's beautiful to know that if when I was in sin, if I turned my life around, the Lord will have abundant mercy upon me to forgive me. Man may not forgive you when you sin. Man may remember for years and years and years and hold it against you for years and years and years. I remember so-and-so and I remember what he did. I remember so-and-so and I remember what she did. The Bible says, just let the wicked repent. Let the wicked turn. And the God in heaven above will have abundant mercy. Boy, we'll pardon abundantly. We'll forgive over and over and over again. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. Listen to what the word says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord doesn't think like you and me. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that God doesn't act like you and me. You say, well, Brother Crowder, you are a preacher. And you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that. And I don't always think and do that which is right. But I have turned from my wicked ways, and the Lord pardons me with abundant pardon, with unmercifulness no longer a part of me. God has plenty of mercy and forgiveness. And I'm glad because, like I say, man will remember things that you've done for years and years and years, but God forgives. And he says, it's because I don't think like you and my thoughts are higher than you. I can see good in you when man can't see good in you. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Rain and snow nourishes the earth, and it gives seed to the sower and bread to those who eat the word. It's not going to return unto the Lord void It's not going to return until the Lord empty. The word can fertilize our minds and change our minds from that which is evil to that which is good. There are a lot of things that are trying to enter our minds right now, trying to tear up our thoughts. One of those things is the teaching that's in our public schools right now that's trying to help our young people to accept homosexuality and lesbianism. I don't have a problem whatsoever in accepting all people and praying for all people and learning how to love all people. But I do have a problem with the sins that man wants me to adopt and embrace as normal, when Romans chapter 1 lets me know that it's not normal. It's not that which we can find in the Bible to be receptive by God. Rather, it's an abomination. It goes against nature itself, the Bible says, for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman. You can't even reproduce like that. So many times people have hated the individual and caused the problems that we have right now. We'd better be able to listen to the word of God, appreciate the word of God, and turn towards the word of God away from the thoughts of men. And we'd better be able to rightly discern those thoughts to the points of objecting to that being thrown upon our young people who are coming along with receptive minds and be able to receive the word of God rather than the sin of mankind. In Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "My word, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void." It goes out and it's not going to return unto me empty, worthless. "But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, the word goes out. And the Bible says some seed falls by the wayside and the devil comes and takes away the word or the seed out of the mind or the hearts of the hearer. And then the Bible says some seed falls on the rock. Sometimes the word is being preached and those who hear receive the word with joy. But the word has no root in them, and they believe for a while, and then when temptation comes, the hearer falls away. Some seed falls among thorns, and the hearer goes forth and is choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the word brings forth no good fruit. Some seed falls on good ground, which is a reflection of a person with an honest and a good heart. And the hearer, having heard the word, keeps it and shares it, and it brings forth more fruit and more patience. And the hearer does that which is right. So Isaiah 55:11 says, this word will not return unto the Lord empty or worthless or meaningless or void, but the word will accomplish what the Lord desires, and the Lord's word will achieve the purpose to why it has been sent out. The word can save if man will receive the word, if man will take the word in, if man will be obedient to the word. I stand preaching the gospel, but I can't make you believe what I'm preaching. I can't make you accept what I'm preaching. That's why we have Bible study. But so many people believe that only the Sunday morning worship is enough. I need more than that in a world that is so sinful, in a world that is trying so much to indoctrinate me. with the cares of the world rather than with the Word of God. I come back on Sunday nights and I come on Wednesday nights and I come even during the week from time to time at the Northside Church of Christ to get more and more understanding of God's Word. And when I was preaching at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street, I was encouraging the members, come and listen to the Word over and over again. Listen to it just like on worldly music and just like that which we hear and see on the television over and over and over again. The more you listen to worldly music, the more you continue to look at that which is ungodly and immoral on television, the more your mind attunes to it and receives it and accepts it until you begin to practice that which you're hearing and that which you're seeing. That's why I want to hear more of the Word, and I want to practice more of the Word, and I want to see more of the Word. I want to be around Christians who are trying to do that which is right, because the Word of God is not going to return unto him meaningless. It's not going to return unto him void. It's going to judge us in the last day. The Word can save us, because that's what God wanted the Word to do. He wanted the Word to save us. That's why it's written, and that's why he came through the flesh, in the flesh, as Jesus Christ, to save mankind. If I stay on the face of this earth 110 or 20 years and die without the Lord, what have I accomplished? That's why I want to study the Word more and more and more. Sunday morning is good. Sunday morning, Hebrews 10:25, is a time when we are to assemble. Sunday evening is a time that we are to assemble. Sunday is the day given to the Lord. And add up how much time we give on Sunday to the Lord, and you'll come back with possibly 6 hours altogether, and sometimes even 3 hours altogether. And God just continues to give us another 165 hours in the week. And I say, thank you, Lord, that I can serve you on Sunday and learn how to serve you more during the week by understanding what Sunday really means. Bible lets me know that there are a lot of scriptures about the living Word, Jesus, and the written Word, the Bible. When I look at just three more scriptures in Psalm 119 and verse 105, the author says, thy word is a lamp to guide. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word exposes the innermost thoughts and the innermost desires of man. John chapter 12 and verses number 47 and 48. If a man hear my words and believe it not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but I'm coming to receive and save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word of God is going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. God wants his word to save man, and his word will accomplish that if we will receive with meekness that engrafted word. You got to humble yourself to receive the word sometimes. You have to humble yourself. You have to be one that's obedient. You have to be one that's receptive. You have to be one that separates your mind from the world and says, I am going to listen to somebody that knows more than I do. And I'm going to be able, in listening to the word of God, to let it accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. God wants it to help us to come from the lonesome ways of sin into the marvelous light of the obedience of his word. The receptiveness of his son. The receptiveness of salvation. God wants everybody to be saved, but we have to want to be saved. If we think this is enough and this is all we do on Sunday morning, then God will judge us either the deeds done in our body, whether good or whether evil. If you think that just being here this morning is enough for you, Satan is already trying to work on your mind. And he'll continue to work on your mind, even to the point that you'll believe this is all I need. Just maybe an hour, 15, 20, 30 minutes. That's enough for me to do what's right. And Satan has all the other time to work on us and work on us and work on us. And Satan knows what pulls you away from God. And he knows what pulls me away from God. He knows. And what pulls you away may not pull me away. What pulls me away may not pull you away. But Satan knows, and God's word is able to save us from our sins. Hear his word, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe his word, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30. God winked, but now he's not winking at our ignorance. Because the word is written. We can read it, we can believe it, we can obey it. Not only that, the Bible says, confess him on earth, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. Deny me on earth, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 10:33. Put him on in baptism for the remission of sins. The Bible says in Acts 2:37-38. When we receive him and when we are buried with him in baptism, all of our sins are washed away. We are a new creature. Acts 2:47, he adds us to his church. He's coming back for that church that we read about in Matthew 16:13-18. I'm glad I'm in the church that Christ built. I'm glad I'm in the church of Christ. I'm glad I'm in a congregation that follows the word of God. Well, Brother Crowder, what about everybody else? That's up to God. It's God's heaven. He can receive whomever he wants to receive. But I can read the word and understand the need to be receptive of that word that's not going to return to him meaningless and worthless, void. But it's going to accomplish what it's set out to accomplish. Save mankind if we will be receptive of it. The Bible says he sent Jesus even before time, predestined to save man from sin. And now we have pardon. Now we have mercy. Now we are justified when we receive the word. Just as if we've never sinned. Boy, that's beautiful. Just as if we never, ever sinned. When we receive God's word and obey it. And then the Bible says we'll have a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood can't enter. Man will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The last trump. Dead will rise, the Bible says. Meet him in the air, And those in the Lord will be able to live with him forever and ever and ever. God's plan of salvation is Jesus Christ. Won't you receive him this morning as we together stand and sing the song of invitation? God's word is calling us. Come to him right now. Please stand. There's a fountain free to